today and forevermore. What you say is what you do. You never fail, you never change. You are faithful till the end. Faithful God, I worship you. I worship you. Oh, you're too faithful to fail me. You're too faithful to disappoint me. Yourself in my life, and I've come to realize you're too faithful to fail me. Hallelujah, you are. Oh, you're too faithful to fail me. You are, Lord. You're too faithful to disappoint me.
Too loving to leave me.
faithful to disappoint me. Thank you, you've proven yourself.
You've proven yourself in my life. And I've come to realize you're too faithful to fail me.
Oh, you've proven yourself, Lord.
You've proven yourself in my life. And I've come to realize you're too faithful to fail me.
What you start, you always
you start, you always finish, and I've come to realize you're too faithful to fail me.
One more time, what you start, Lord.
What you start, you always finish, and I've come to realize you're too faithful to fail me.
For me and my
Hallelujah, you're singing Hebrew this morning. Sing Kadosh. Hallelujah. Amen. Father, we are thankful for your presence. We are thankful that you are faithful. You are real. You are not a figment of our imagination. We are here, O God, only because of mercy, only because of your grace, only because of your loving kindness and your tender mercies. God who has forgiven us, God who has redeemed us, God who has healed us, God who has separated us unto yourself. You are Father, you are Friend, you are all things we'll ever need, ever. Father, we thank you that you have loved us with an everlasting love, and that in spite of all of our frailties, you have remained strong for us, keeping us, upholding us, fighting for us, and defeating the greatest enemy we've ever faced. Not just the powers of darkness, but sometimes ourselves, so that the real you may live in us and through us forever. Blessed be your holy name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. It's good to see you all this wonderful day that the Lord God Almighty has made for us to rejoice and be glad. Thank you so very much for all of your prayers. And while Mama and I were away, she's strong and she's doing well. Amen? Amen. Praise God. God is a God who keeps us. And we thank him for his faithfulness. We got back yesterday evening at about this time. And it's just been steady. Not one day of say, okay, let's rest today. The last 2 weeks, when I got to, when we got to Nigeria, the next day, flew to another city to minister there, flew back, and Friday. I flew back on Friday. Saturday, I was ministering at the church. Sunday, I was ministering again. Monday, we took off for the main city where we're going to be ministering and establishing a new work, or fresh work. And that was the only day we didn't rest that day, but that would have been a rest day, but we had to get ready for the next day meetings, and Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Had a stretch of meetings Sunday, Monday. We headed to the city we're going to fly out of. And so that was a day's journey. Got there and I thought, I think we're flying out Tuesday. So we got to the airport on Tuesday, found out we're flying out the next day. So that's been the experience. But God is good. Amen? Hallelujah. So how has your week been? Awesome. So was ours. Thank God. Without the experience that we call Good Friday, none of us would have known the love of God as demonstrated, the love of the Father. In fact, the Lord Jesus Christ said that he came to reveal the Father to us. You know, there's this passage of scripture that we all know very well. And if I said to you, what would be this particular scripture, I'm sure you'd be able to tell me in a go. What do you think I'm thinking about? I didn't even give you much of any hint. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. When we think about that particular verse, we only think about one perspective most times. We think about God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him. And when we think about that word, believes in him, we think only in terms of Jesus. But that him is not just Jesus. That him is also the Father. It is the Father that loved that and therefore gave. Amen? Father loved you and loved me. And in fact, the Lord Jesus Christ said, as the Father loved me, that's the way I love you. The Father loves you just as much as he loves me, he says. Now, that's a very interesting thought because it has two sides to that coin. God loves the Father loves his Son so much. Oh, he loves me the same. Well, the Father who loved the Son so much gave his Son. Hallelujah. And, you know, sometimes bad things happen to good people only because God loves. We think that that bad thing happened to that person because that person was bad. That person did not have faith. That person did not whatever. And sometimes it's not that. It's because the Word of God says this. It puts it this way. God will not allow you to be tempted beyond that which you are able to bear, but provides a way of escape. And sometimes the love of God brings certain kinds of pain, not just for you, but because he wants to save. He wants to help somebody. He wants to touch a life. Sometimes you're going through some things and people watch you and they see, oh my, if he can go through that and still be serving God, I'm going to go all the way. God knows what he's doing at all times. There is nothing then that will ever happen in your life that's foreign in God's thinking or is founded in hate or indifference or apathy. Everything about God is about love. Even when the love hurts. Are we together? So before you fast with the tongue and making judgment about something that happened to somebody is happening to somebody, hold off. What is God seeing about this person that I don't see? If he says he will not allow us to be tempted beyond that which we are able to bear, and this person is going through so much right now, just maybe this person is greater than what I think. God has more faith in this person that's going through such and such than I think. Are we together? The love of God was manifested, shed abroad in our hearts by the dying of Jesus Christ. He did not die for himself. He had no reason to die for himself. He died for us. The Romans didn't crucify Jesus. Physically, they did. The Jews were not the ones who put Jesus on the cross. Physically, they might have. I did. You did. He went to the cross because of you and because of me. He went to the cross to reveal certain things. I had an executive meeting with my team in Nigeria, and one of the decisions that made close to 20 years ago, the person that this decision concerned wanted to be part of the team again and has been asking to be part of the team again and again and again. And the Lord said to me, absolutely not. But if he insists, then let him go start another work. So I told the person that, and said, okay, I guess I will do that. Then this time, going back, the Lord says, without giving me full details, it looked like it was contrary to the initial statement, said, tell the guy to come to this executive board meeting. And so he came, and I said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to ask you to go team up with this other pastor and help him. And that's going to be for 6 months. It's a trial, I said. He stood up and he said, well, I'm going to pray about it. I said, okay. Blah, besides giving me this long story, I turned around and said, remember the statement I made before? No, this time it is a permanent no. Because the only reason God asked me to give you this option was to reveal what's in your heart. Now I see much more clearly. And everybody in the executive said, absolutely, this guy is going to be a problem. We don't want any problem in the team. Sometimes things happen to reveal what's on the inside. Are we together so far? Yes. When you squeeze a tube of toothpaste, it will reveal the content within. Sometimes the pressure you feel is exposing what's hidden from view. I don't know if they still make it close up. I don't think I've seen close up toothpaste for a while now, but once upon a time there used to be close up, and then there used to be Aqua Fresh. Aqua Fresh had all the stripes, right? Yeah. Well, if we had just a tube without a name, no trademark, nothing on it, and you squeezed it and close up comes out, you will know. If I squeezed the tube and Aqua Fresh was on the inside, what color would come out? Do you still remember? Green, red, and white. True? If you squeeze one and all it's all white, you might say that's Colgate. It could be anything else. But what's on the inside is what's going to come out. When we go through experiences in life, what's on the inside is what's going to come out. And today, the word of God to us is this: arise, shine, for the light is come, for the glory of God is risen upon you. And what God expects when we get squeezed, what comes out of us? is the glory of God. Are we together? I remember many years ago, it's got to be about, I will say, 52 years maybe, 51, 52. I was house sitting and laying in a couch. Sleeping, and I wake up and I heard me talking. I was saying, because he lives, I live also. It wasn't something that came from the natural, it's something that came out of my spirit. Because he lives, I live also. Life is inside of me. And when I get squeezed, life should come out of me, not death. Hello? When you've got life in you, when you kick on something while you're walking, it is not F. What? If it is F something, we've got something on the inside that is not. Are we together? If what came out of your mouth is, oh, Lord Jesus, just maybe Jesus is on the inside. But some people might say Jesus, but it's Jesus from the wrong side. Huh? So it becomes the spirit of what's on the inside. Life is full of stuff. And as you travel through life, you pick up different things. You choose what you're going to pick up. The question I must ask myself tonight, the question you must ask yourself tonight is this question. What things am I choosing to pick as I travel through life? Sometimes things want to pick you. Then the question is, do you allow yourself to say yes to that which is not right, that wants to pick you? Because sometimes the thing that picks you are bad friends, bad relationships, bad thoughts. You aren't thinking it, but somebody's projecting it towards you. You pick it. Somebody has a bad day. Now, do you join them in having that same bad day? What do you do? Because whatever it is that you pick becomes part of you. And when you get squeezed, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth is going to speak. Are we together so far? So, it may look like fun picking this thing right now, but some things that you pick rot. Yes? It may taste good taking it in, but after a while, the stench of it will come forth. So is that what you want? What are you picking? Or what are you allowing to pick you? Because whatever it is that you're picking or allowing to pick you is fashioning your life. That's the mold that you are poured in. You choose friends that want to do drugs. It doesn't matter what age. There are people who are already in their 40s and their 50s who've never done drugs, but now they are doing drugs because they allowed the world to speak into their lives. They are afraid of living and they want to hide, so they're going to drink. They're going to smoke. They're going to do drugs. They're going to womanize, whatever it is, to escape. No, God provides a way of escape. Hello? And the way of escape is nothing that is evil. The way of escape is the fortification of the man on the inside. That you are fortified, that you are strengthened, that you are grounded and rooted in his love. That's how you escape. And when you're weak, he makes you strong. That's how you escape. The escape of the man of God is not based on fear. It's not running away. The escape is the strengthening of the inner man so you can change and be what God says you're called to be. Hallelujah. That's what God is calling you and I to. A change in perspective. It's not saying that life has no problems. On the contrary, he tells us very clearly, in the world you shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer, I have overcome. You're going to have tribulation in the world, but be of good cheer, I have overcome. So hang around me and you will know what it means to be an overcomer. For as you choose me, the word of God says, greater is he that is in me than he that's in the world. On the outside, I might look weak, but if you squeeze me, you'll find out that the greater one is going to come out. So squeeze. Go ahead, squeeze. And then you find out that the real me will jump out. And the real me that jumps out will be the one who lives in me. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You know, when the enemy tries to squeeze you, and every time he squeezes you, he gets a big punch on the face. You say, where did I come from? Pow! There will only be one person with a bloody face. The enemy who tried to squeeze you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, the other day I was thinking, wow, Pastor, all these illustrations that you're giving, they're always violent. Then I thought, well, the violent take it by force. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. The devil's a liar. He wants to mess with you, he wants to mess with me. Now, we've all read the story from Mark 10. I'll take it from about verse 46. Where it talks about a man called Bartimaeus. It says, and they came to Jericho. It's a place of fragrance. And as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus. So we, in real sense, we don't know the real name of this guy, because Bartimaeus means son of Timaeus. So we know him by his father's name. But his father's name, Timaeus, has two meanings. Timaeus means unclean. Somebody say unclean. Unclean, Timaeus. But the word Timaeus also means highly exalted or highly prized. Highly prized. Unclean. Those two don't sound like the same name. But this is very representative of life. On one hand, you can see him as unclean. On the other hand, you can see him as highly prized. Is this cup half full or is it half empty? It's a matter of perspective. And today the question is, do you see yourself as unclean, unworthy, or do you see yourself as highly prized? Because the story of blind Bartimaeus is a story of a man who's crying out for mercy. He hears about Jesus and he cries out and he says, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." And the response of the multitude that followed Jesus, that thronged Jesus, is, "Shut up. Hush up. Shh. Be quiet. How dare you be calling the name of Jesus?" That's their response. His response is different. While they are charging him to hold his peace, he is crying out even more, the louder. In fact, he's saying, "I don't buy into your noise. As many of you as there might be that are saying to me that I am not worthy, that I should shut up, that I am unclean, that I'm all of that, I refuse to be what you are saying I should be. I refuse that. I am not that. I will not continue this way. Something has to break today, and it's not going to be me, it's going to be you. You're going to shut up, but I'm going to say what I'm going to say. I'm going to say mercy. I'm going to cry out to the living God and ask God to do something extraordinary for me." And the Bible says Jesus stood still. Jesus stopped. He was going. He's heading to Jerusalem. This is his last time through Jericho. But amazingly, in all of this, he's going to keep up with time. He's going to be there at the right time, at the fullness of time. He's going to go through what he's going to go through on what we call Good Friday. And here are all these stops. In fact, in Jericho, he actually stops before he came to Jericho. He sees two blind men as he was entering into Jericho. He sees two blind men who were crying out the same thing. "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." And he stops and he heals them. And he comes into Jericho and he meets a man who was desperate to meet him. His name was Zacchaeus. Remember him? That man, the Bible tells us, was well hated by the community. He was a tax collector. And he ripped people off. He taxed people beyond what they were meant to be taxed. And he was a short guy. And he takes the risk of running into the midst of this crowd that were waiting for Jesus. Anybody could have tripped him and they could have just trampled on him and killed him, but he could care less. He wanted to meet with Jesus. That's a decision he made. This special meeting was called, and you made the decision to come. But there are others who didn't come, for whatever the reasons might be. Might be valid reasons. Some may just think, it's another special meeting. Nobody's going to miss me. There's going to be other people there. Whatever the reasons are. But sometimes you show up and it seems like nothing happened to you. But meanwhile, God just tweaked you. Fine-tuning. Putting things together. One brick at a time. He's building you up. He's doing works of transformation and change. Things are turning around and you are totally unaware of what was going on, but God was working on you. Hallelujah. So here's Zacchaeus. He climbs up a sycamore tree. And you can be certain that there were many trees in the area and there were people who climbed other trees. But there was a reason for him. He wanted to have a better view. Because if he stayed where everybody else was, he might not see Jesus. So he climbs up the tree. That was risk, climbing up. Now everybody that didn't see that Zacchaeus was around can see him. That might become even more dangerous. Okay, when Jesus goes past, we're going to see, are you going to go home? And Jesus comes, and where does he stop? Where Zacchaeus was. The one who was willing to risk life and limb to see him. He stops where Zacchaeus was. And he says to Zacchaeus, come on down. We're going to your house today. We're going to chow at your place. Hey, what did he say? Why did we come to see Jesus? We know that he knows better. Jesus must know that this guy is a crook. He's as crooked as they come. And he's going to do what? He's going to go to his house. This is funny. Why did I waste my time to come look for this guy? Birds of the same feather flock together. This Jesus must be a crook too. It's amazing how Jesus finds time to hang around people that the world thinks are not worthy of him. We make judgments based on our natural perspective, but God sees beyond the natural. He sees the heart of people. He knows who they are, what they are about, what their pain might be, what their struggles might be. He goes past the mask. Zacchaeus, come down. So he goes to Zacchaeus' house, spends the time there. And while he's there, the man, just because Jesus came to his house, decides that he's going to correct his ways. He says, I won't pay everybody back whatever it is I owe them. And I'm going to give them even more. Huh? Sacrifice. You see, people who give sacrificially are people who have met with the Lord. You cannot meet with the Lord and not be a sacrificial giver. Let me say that again. You cannot meet with God and not be a sacrificial giver. I'll say it the third time. You cannot meet with the Lord and not be a sacrificial giver. The very fact that you come and you see him causes you to want to be like him. He says, I'm going to restore. Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I've taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him, how many? Fourfold. I'll pay them back fourfold for accusing them falsely, making them to pay. I won't pay them back fourfold. He's giving half of his goods away. He's going to do that. And then he's going to do this. Wow. What a change. And we used to sing a song, old song. Great change since I've been born again. There's been a great change since I've been born again. Great change since I've been born again. There's a great change since I've been born again. The things I used to do, I do them no more. Places I used to go, I go there no more. So that's how that song goes. Great change. The thing is, we say we're born again. What change has taken place? I was talking to somebody this afternoon. And he bemoaned the fact that he doesn't go to church anymore. And he said, I'll tell you the truth, the reason I don't go is because of the people in the church. They've hurt me badly. I said, guess what? I can relate. I said, but I don't go there because of them. I go in spite of them because my relationship is not based on what they did or did not do. It's based on the one that I come to meet. That's who. Every one of us face challenges, and the message is about the decisions we make. Zacchaeus had a decision to make, and now Jesus comes through Jericho. He comes to, he's in, and meets Zacchaeus. Coming in, he meets two blind men, and he comes out on the other side, and he meets blind Bartimaeus. Now, people are telling him to shut up. He keeps on crying out even much more louder. Jesus stops. And the comment of the Lord is remarkable here. The Word of God says, and commanded him to be called. In other words, even after Jesus stopped and stood still, there was still resistance. Because the Word of God says, and commanded him to be called. Commanded. That is a firm instruction. Firm because he heard all of the resistance. And I know this day that God hears all the resistance that's come against you in your life, that's tried to stop you from becoming what God wants you to be. And God is speaking the word of command that's going to compel all of your haters to be the ones who come and say to you, arise. Hallelujah. Be of good comfort. Rise. He call it thee. God is going to cause those who have resisted your progress in life to be the ones who are going to tell you that you have arrived. Hallelujah. 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 The voice of every hater shall be stopped. Are you hearing? Be of good comfort. Rise. He calleth thee. Oh, that will preach just those three statements. Be of good comfort. Rise. He calleth thee. Do you hear the voice of God? All Jesus said is, get that guy here. And those who were telling him to shut up said, okay, it's okay. Hear this, hear this, hear this. Shut up. Hush up. Stop calling him. Now, be of comfort, be of good comfort is the same thing. It's okay, shut up. The tone changed. So shall the tone of people change concerning you. Somebody shout hallelujah. The tone is going to change. I say the tone is going to change. I say the tone is going to change. Be of good comfort. It's okay. Don't shout anymore. Don't shout. Rise. Why do you want me to rise? So you can haul me out of here? No, rise. He calleth thee. He was the one who was calling. But now, Jesus is calling him. Amen. Hallelujah. Rise, he calleth thee. The tables are turning in his favor. Unclean. Highly prized. What made the difference? The determination that he is going to be heard. The fact that he did not quit. Excuse me. He did not quit. How prone are you to quitting? Now, the next statements I'm going to make are going to be crucial, and it may sound contradictory, but we've already gone through one contradiction of shut up and shut up. Don't change. He says, and he casting away his garment rose and came to Jesus. And he casting away his garment rose and came to Jesus. That is quitting. One way he did not quit because he kept on crying out, but now he's going to quit what he did not want. Did you hear? Do you understand? It's one thing to hear, it's another thing to understand. Do you understand? So, what do you mean he quit? Well, he cast away his garment. Why is that crucial? Because that garment was his license to beg. You were authorized to beg. And now he says no to that because he's saying yes to another rising. The theme of this conference is authorized to rise. Is that not? You've been given the authority to rise, an empowerment, a right to rise. The Bible says he cast away his garment, that license that identified him as unclean. That garment that identified him as a blind man. That identity of, I can only survive because you gave something to me. He quit that. He rose. And he came to Jesus. And this is where it gets interesting. Jesus answered and said unto him. And Jesus answered and said unto him. And Jesus answered and said unto him. You mean Jesus was hearing him all this while? Yeah, that's why he stopped. But why didn't Jesus answer the first time? Or the second time? Or the third time? Or the fourth time? Because in the things of the kingdom, persistence is of prime value. When the Word of God says knock, it's not talking about just knocking one time. Keep knocking. Ask, keep asking. Seek, keep seeking. Because the true desire of your heart determines what your determination is, that this is highly prized. The highly prized is not just Timaeus. The highly prized is the importance that this Timaeus places on who Jesus is. Him, he's unclean. That's his real name. Highly prized. That's what he places Jesus as. And that becomes his new name. Oh my God. Somebody help me here. Your new name is based on how high you place Jesus in your life. Is Jesus important? then he's highly prized, and that's going to be the reality of your new day. So it wasn't just the name of Bartimaeus. It was the story behind it. Now, the two blind men on the other side, we don't know about. We don't know their name. But we know this one's name. Only because God wants us to get to the part where we understand. Jesus answered him based on what he had been saying. Oh, help me, please. Timaeus did not say anything when he came to Jesus. But the word of God says, and Jesus answered. You don't respond to something that has not said anything. The prayers that you prayed before, you became silent at his presence, is the prayers he's answering. Huh? There comes a time when you stop talking and you just want to be with Jesus. Oh, are we together? Is this too good to be true? You've been begging, you've been talking, you've been crying and everything. All the snot is coming out and you're... Now you face Jesus and you say nothing. Now you're in the right place. Because after a while, it's not about any of that, that Jesus is forced to ask him, what do you want? Because at this time, the guy is Google-eyed. Jesus mentions me. Hey. He can't see Jesus, but he can smell him. He is Jesus. That Jesus had to ask him, what do you want? Because at this point, it doesn't matter anymore. You see, when your problem comes, you come to a place where your problem doesn't matter anymore, you're in the right place. You've already risen past your problem. You've gone past it. That's no longer an issue. Doesn't matter. What really matters is I'm standing with Jesus. That's what matters. When you and I come to that place where it's just, all that matters here is Jesus. He begins to ask you, what do you want? Come on, tell me, what do you want? What do you want? You've been crying out for mercy. What do you want? Because you see, at this point, his identity is no longer attached to his blindness. He quit that. He's no longer defined by what he has or doesn't have. He's quit that. Lord, if I only had $1 million, he's quit that. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Remember that song? All he wants now is Jesus. And he's standing before the Lord. And the Lord says, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? What do you want me to do? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. Since you ask it, I want to see. And the Lord responds. See what he says in verse 52. Jesus said unto him, go what? thy way. Go thy way. That's a remarkable statement, because now the Lord is authorizing him to operate the way he wants. You go your way. You've shown that you are more than this. Go your way. Thy faith had made thee whole. Your faith has made you sozo, complete. And immediately he received his sight and did what? Followed Jesus in the way. Because thy way was his way. I don't know if you heard that. When he said, go thy way, he gave him options. You want to go home? You want to go to wherever you want to go? Go. You can see now. Go. Just go enjoy life. The guy says, excuse me? Wherever you go, that's the way I'm going. What's your decision? Are you going to go the way that he's going? Or are you going to go some other way? That's the question. There are people in this church today that could be anywhere else, but they chose, this is where God has called me. This is where I stay. You've gone through turbulent experiences with us through the years. There are some that left and came back. There are some that came here with fellow family members, and their family members left and they stayed. I'm not going. You want to go over there? You go. This is where I am. You got to come to a place where you know what you're about. And that brings me. See, all this time we've been talking about all of this, but we've not talked anything about the cross. Well, because you already knew about the cross. But so that we do not leave the cross out of this completely, come with me to Matthew 27 and verse 38. The Bible tells us about two thieves that were crucified with the Lord. The Bible says, then were there two thieves crucified with him, one on the right hand and another on the left. And they that passed by reviled him, wagging their heads and saying, thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself, if thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross. Likewise also the chief priest mocking him with the scribes and the elders said, he saved others, himself he cannot save. If he be the King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross and we will believe him. Liars. He rose again from the dead, they still did not believe him. That was even greater. He trusted in God. Let him deliver him now. Now they are accusing God. Can you imagine? Let him deliver him now if he will have him. In other words, God wouldn't even want to save you because you don't qualify. For he said, I am the Son of God. The thieves also which were crucified with him cast the same in his teeth. Now from the sixth hour, there was darkness over all the land unto the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. That's to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? This is an interesting translation. Because in the Aramaic, that statement, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? The writing basically says, for this reason I was born. For this reason I was born. And people now start saying whatever it is that they thought he was saying. Some of them said, that stood there when they heard that, said, this man called for Elias. Eli. Elias. What is that? That's addition. Are we together? That's addition. People try to add stuff to whatever it is that you're saying, misrepresenting what you're saying. You say bye, they say you said bye-bye. Let's see some of that again from Mark's perspective. Mark 15. Mark 15, verse 27. See what happens here. He said, and with him they crucified two thieves, and one on his right hand and the other on his left. And the scripture was fulfilled, we said, and he was numbered with the transgressors. And they that passed by railed on him, wagging their heads and saying, ah, thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself and come down from the cross. Likewise, the chief priests mocking said among themselves with the scribes, he saved others. Himself he cannot save. Let Christ, the King of Israel, descend now from the cross. Let Christ, the King of Israel, descend now from the cross, that we may see and believe. And they that were crucified with him reviled him. Let Christ, the King of Israel, so they knew that he was. And when Pilate puts on that cross, that statement, they say, ah, take that down. You see, the people that don't believe in you, really believe in you, but just hate you because you are what you really are. So if you really want to know certain things about yourself, listen well enough to what they are saying about you, and you'll find in it the kernel of truth. Those who are prejudiced are afraid of the people they are prejudiced against. Because they know if those people that they are prejudiced against have the same chance like them, those people will wipe the floor with them. Are we together? You're really afraid of people that you're prejudiced against. That's why you try to suppress them. The enemy suppresses people that are going somewhere. Are we together? Anti-Semitism is about people hating the Jews because of who they are. But the funny thing about these people is they refuse to be what everybody is trying to make them to be. Hello? Small nation, Israel. You're trying to suppress them and say, no, we not suppress. Never again, this is going to happen. Well, when are you and I going to say never again? The church needs to rise up and say never again. You can shoot your mouth off and try this and try that, but we are saying, thank you, Jesus. We're not going through this mess with you. We are the sons of God. And the word of God says, occupy till I come. Amen? Why aren't we involved in politics? Why have we turned the world over to some crooked people who are legislating nonsense? Because we don't think we're good enough. But meanwhile, we have the greater one in us. But we're turning the world over. We teach our people not to be involved in the civil issues of men. If you want the well-being of people, don't you think you should be involved in making sure that they have the right things? The Bible tells us when the righteous rule, the people rejoice. Yeah, I don't think I'm good enough. What makes that person better than you? That person that's running, what makes him better than you? So we've turned it over to people who practice different lifestyles. What do you expect them to do? Love the church? And say, oh yeah, we love the church. While they're living in sin, and you're going to be preaching and telling them about this is wrong. Ah, this is wrong. Huh? Okay. Hate speech. If you preach that, we're going to throw you in jail. Try it. You're going to stop me with your legislation? But we gave room for that nonsense to take place. They know that Jesus is Lord. They knew that he is the King of Israel. And they're doing what the devil did at the very beginning. If you be the Son of God, turn these stones and make them bread. No, I'm not going to do that. I live to obey the word of God. I'm subject to the word of God. I'm going to do what the word of God says I should do. Whether I live or die, I am not going by your dictates. I'm going to do what God says. Hallelujah. This is, the Bible is very clear. He did this to bring about the fulfillment of the word of God. In Luke chapter 23 and verse 32, same scenario. Luke 23 and verse 32. And there were also two other male factors led with him to be put to death. When they were come to the place which is called Calvary or Golgotha, there they crucified him, and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left, then said, Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. And the people stood beholding And the rulers also with them derided him, saying, he saved others, let him save himself, if he be the Christ, the chosen of God. And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar, and saying, if thou be the king of the Jews, save thyself. And all, and a subscription also was written over him in letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew, this is the king of the Jews. One of the malefactors of your hand railed on him, saying, if thou be Christ, save thyself and us. And the other, answering, rebuked him, saying, dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? Now, why would you be asking Jesus to save himself from the cross and then to save you when you're all three of you are on the same cross? Well, because somewhere deep in the inside, you believe that he really is who he's claiming to be. But you are not willing to fully accept that for whatever your reasons are. If thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, we have a reason to be here, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man had done nothing amiss. He didn't do anything wrong. And he turns to Jesus and says, Lord. Remember, he said, this man. But now he says, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Huh? You still believe, even though things are going south? You still believe? Even though he's been crucified? You still believe, in spite of the fact that there are all these challenges? We mostly think believing is based on certain valid proof. Well, believing is more than that. I don't want to go too deeply on that because that's going to keep you and I here for another hour. I'm not going to do that to you today. Maybe tomorrow. You've hung around me long enough. We do not live by sight, but by faith. If you were to look at this ministry, for example, and you're living by sight, then this is what you see. If you live in by faith, then you see something way more than this. You see so much more. Everybody faces challenges like that. When you're, all you see is darkness. from the sixth hour to the ninth hour. What you hear is Eli, Eli, sabachthani. You hear, my God, why has thou forsaken me? You don't hear, for this purpose was I born. When you see a blind Bartimaeus, you hear unclean, unclean. You don't hear highly prized. You and I got to see beyond the natural and say, God, open my eyes to your perspective. I want to see things from your viewpoint. That changes everything. Because when you see things from God's perspective, nobody can twist you this way or that way. It's done. It's settled. You're going to convince me that God is not a provider? Too late. It's too late. It's absolutely too late. Because he is. You're going to tell me God does not love and God does not save? Too late. You're going to tell me, because you're going through all these troubles, all these problems, God must hate you. Too late. I already know God loves me, and sometimes he'll allow me to go through things because he has so much confidence in me that I will do the right thing, just like he said to Job. Job, oh, yeah, he checked this guy out. He just, he makes my heart beat. He goes, it's because of the staff. Let me take the staff. And you see that guy's going to curse you. Make my day. Go check it out. And the guy comes out on the other side because God had faith in him. The devil kills off everybody but leaves the wife alone. Who's to tell him? Who's going to tell him? Just curse God already. What good is that going to do? Really, what good is that going to do? That's the easy way out. The enemy will always provide an easy way out. Just this, just that. No, even though he slays me, yet will I serve. It's a decision. And tonight, the call is to the decision that God has called you and I to. Are we going to follow through with God, whom we know loves us with an everlasting love? It's a decision. The decision is, are you going to stay down there? Listen to all the naysayers and haters that were telling you, shut up, shut up, shut up. Are you going to keep on shouting out louder and see them turn around and their tone changes and says, you don't have to shout anymore. Take it easy. Be of good comfort. Rise. He calleth thee. There's that part too. If you hang around long enough, you will hear that part where your haters become your lovers. They force you. I conclude. And we're going to pray. Jesus said in Psalm 2 and verse 8, he says, I will declare the decree of the Lord. He says that his father had declared that he is his son. I will declare the decree. The Lord hath said unto me, thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. That's powerful. The decree is, thou art my son. Hello? What is the decree? Yeah. You're my son. Do you believe it? This day have I begotten thee. Now, ask of me. Watch this now. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the hidden for thine inheritance, and the utmost parts of the earth for thy possession. Based on what? The decree. You're my son. Ask me for the heathen, for your inheritance. Guess what? If I'm going to ask him for the heathen, for my inheritance, then the heathen has no choice. Did you hear that? The heathen has no choice because they are his. God is not going to give to me what he does not possess. In essence, the devil does not have the people. But I get to know that when I know that I am a son, that God has declared a decree. I am the son of God. Go into all the world and bring in the harvest. Go into all the world and get them because I am giving them to you. So what do I say? Oh, Winnipeg, it's really hard. The people don't want to know God. That's a lie from the devil. Because that is not just a lie. It is causing me not to believe the decree of God. Say, but Pastor, that's about Jesus. Wait. What does the Word of God say in John 1? As many as believed in him, to them he gave the power or the authority to become the sons of God. What does it say in Romans 8? As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Are you led by the Spirit of God? Then you're the son of God. And if you're the son of God, God is saying, ask of me and I'll give you the heathen. In essence, my attitude is, you don't have a choice. I already asked for you. You're getting saved today. Because this day have I been begotten of God. You're getting saved today. So when I stand before the masses, I don't go and say, well, you have a choice. You don't have a choice. Because I came here believing that God has given you to me, so you're getting saved today. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So we say, Winnipeg, you're getting saved today. Praise God. Hallelujah. That's our attitude. It's not coming from a wimpish position. It's coming from a position of strength, a position of knowing. The multitude thronged Jesus. They're going to come. John the Baptist didn't have to be in Jerusalem. He was in the wilderness. And guess what? They came to him. Hallelujah. Well, John the Baptist is supposed to make the way for the Lord, so you should be in the city. No, the guy is in the wilderness, and God met him there with the people. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So shall the people come to us. Amen. Because it is our time of the rising. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Rise with me. I want you to lift up your voice before the Lord and begin to declare, Father, turn things around for me now. Hallelujah. Let there be a turnaround. On one hand, the people were telling him, shut down, shut up. But on the other hand, they came at a turnaround and said, be of good comfort. Rise. he calleth thee. So lift up your voice and begin to declare right now that there's a turnaround. The attitude of people are changing concerning your life, concerning your business, concerning your family, concerning everything that pertains to you, that there is a turnaround right now, that the God of the breakthrough is breaking through and breaking forth on your behalf, and every satanic agenda assigned against your life is this day disrupted and destroyed because of the glory of God that's been revealed in your life. In the mighty name of Jesus, lift up your voice and begin to talk to God. Talk to God about that. Hallelujah. Father, we give you praise. We magnify you, Father, in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for your authority. We thank you, Lord, for your power. We thank you, Lord, O God, for your wisdom. We thank you, Lord, O God, that this is the day that you've made for us to rejoice and be glad. And Lord, O God, we declare, O God, the turnaround has begun. It has begun. It has begun. The turnaround is now. The haters, O God, are turning around and they are declaring good things in the name of Jesus. Your word, Father, O God, says unto us that when the ways of a man pleases you, that even our enemies becomes friendly. So, Lord, oh God, we thank you, Lord, for the turnaround. 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 In the mighty name of Jesus, blessed be your holy name, Father. In the name of Jesus, thank you, Lord, oh God, that it is so now done. Amen and amen. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. One of the things we talked about is about making right decisions. We're going to ask God for the grace to be very decisive, very clear in the decisions we make, having the foresight and the discernment that is needed to stand steadfast till we break through. Amen? And continue with that steadfastness after we break through. It is one thing to break through after you've done so much, you break through, and then you quit doing what you're called to do after you arrive. No, you continue doing the same thing. Amen? There are no plateaus in God. We refuse to peak. Praise God. Because anything that peaks falls. Praise God. So we are not going to peak, we're just going to keep on going. And the enemy is going to say, when are they going to stop growing? You know, we're not stopping. Hallelujah. This revival that's just started, when is it going to stop? Let's give it a 6 months. It will stop. No, 6 months later we are going. A year later, 10 years later, 20 years, until Jesus comes, the revival continues. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So we're going to ask God for that grace to be decisive, to choose righteously, and to continue steadfastly doing that which is pleasing in the sight of God. Lift up your voice and begin to give God thanks for that. Father, we thank you, Lord, oh God, for the grace of making proper godly decisions. Lord, oh God, the grace, oh God, to continue in faith, the grace, oh God, to know that you are with us, and because you are with us, nothing can stop us. We bless your holy name, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, oh God, for discernment. Thank you, Lord, oh God, for the grace, oh God, to be steadfast in faith, knowing, oh God, that our labor in you is not in vain. Blessed be your holy name. This day we thank you, Lord, for transformation taking place in our lives. Blessed be your holy name, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. We give you praise. We give you praise. We give you praise in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. We also talked about the fact that we are called by the word of decree to be sons of the Most High God. And God, recognizing that we are that, says, now as a son, you can ask me. As a son, you can ask me. You can ask me for the hidden, for your inheritance, and the utmost parts of the earth for thy possession. Let us begin to thank God for our sonship, because we are led by the Spirit of God. We're led because we are obedient to the leading and guidance of the Spirit of God. We are led because we are acknowledging God in all of our ways so that he can direct our path. We are led because the word of God is a lamp unto our feet. Hallelujah. Let's begin to thank God for our sonship, and let us begin to ask now for the heathen, those who do not know God, that they become now our inheritance and the utmost parts of the earth, our possession. Begin to talk to God right now with thanksgiving. Father, we thank you, Lord, for our sonship. We thank you, Lord, oh God, that we belong to you. We thank you, Lord, for the presence of your word. We thank you, Lord, for the work of transformation that has taken place, that we once lost are now found. We once, oh God, dead are now made alive. We can say boldly and fervently that we are sons of the Most High God. We are not only authorized to rise to this place of sonship, we are led by your spirit, oh God, as sons. And Lord, oh God, from this position of knowing, we ask, oh God, by your word, because you have asked us to ask, we ask boldly now for the heathen, for our inheritance, and the utmost parts of the earth for our possession. We thank you, Lord, that men do not have a choice but to come to you, because now we have asked. Oh God, we exercise the act of our will, and we say now in the mighty name of Jesus, earth, hear the word of the Lord. Winnipeg, hear the word of the Lord. Manitoba, hear the word of the Lord. Canada, hear the word of the Lord. North America, hear the word of the Lord. All continents, hear the word of the Lord. Subcontinent of India, hear the word of the Lord. We have asked for you, and we receive you now as our inheritance and the utmost parts of the earth for our possession. In the mighty name of Jesus, we declare that you come to salvation, that your eyes be open to see and your ears open to hear the word of the Lord, and that you come to the place of surrender unto the Most High God, worshiping in spirit and in truth. In the mighty name of Jesus, we request for you and we receive you now in Jesus' name. In your masses come, in your masses come, in your masses come, in your masses come, in your multitude come, you and your children, you and your families. In the mighty name of Jesus, we request for you and we receive you now in Jesus' name. We call you to salvation, the salvation of the Most High God. Behold the Lamb of God who taketh away the sins of the world. In Jesus' mighty name, we decree it so. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. It's a joy to have shared with you this evening the word of the Lord. I trust that something that was said tonight spoke to your spirit and challenged you to want more and more from the Lord. Amen. At this time, we're going to honor God with our giving. Let's remember that Jesus Christ gave the greatest gift of sacrifice. Every believer gives sacrificially. And tonight, I call you to rise to that higher level of walk in faith, in honoring God with your substance. Do the extraordinary. Trust in God and send God do greater and greater things in you and through you. Amen. Praise the Lord. Come, honor God. May I have a worship song while people are coming to give? While we're doing that, let me take this time to thank God for all those that have joined us this evening. May the Lord continue to do extraordinary things in your life, and may His peace garrison your heart.
Together, you are awesome, Lord.
You are awesome in this place.
You are awesome, Lord.
You are awesome in this place.
You are awesome.
You are awesome in this place.
Oh, you're the faithful God.
Praise God. Amen. Thank God for you. The hand of God rests upon you, cause you to flourish on every side. May the investment of God, our Father, into your life cause you to shine brightly, cause you to be all that He has ordained you to be. May the world know that the Most High God lives in you, moves in you, works in and through you. The God of all peace, crush Satan and his cohorts under your feet. Let every enemy be cut off. Enemies of the past, enemies of your present, enemies of your future. May the judgment of God be swift, and may your liberty be forever established. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Tomorrow night is going to be a powerful night. I have one of our sons that is going to be ministering the word of God to us. You've heard him before. and felt led to have him speak to us again. So tomorrow evening we're going to have another voice, but the same tone, bringing the word of the Lord to us. You remember him? Yes. Apostle God's Power, what a powerful name, God's Power, is going to be ministering grace to us. And so let us begin even now to trust God to move in our midst mightily. I'm looking forward to